Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, it guides us just when we need it. It seems to really speak to our hearts. And Lord, we're so grateful for that. Thank you, Lord, that it just says that we can say yes to you and that you guide us and you want to guide us. Help us, Lord, to be your women of the word that we might reflect you in a very dark world. Bless us now, Lord. May each woman go home with some special nugget, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'd like to follow along, just open up to Romans 13, and we'll get started. Human government receives its authority from God. Paul tells us that government are appointed by God. And that's found in verse 1. When did this happen? It's a good question. Human government was inaugurated by God after the flood. A lot of times we just forget all about that. And but when God placed it into Noah's hands, this human government, he gave him the sword of a magistrate. And this was his law that he gave to Noah. It says, who sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Genesis 9:6. And that's the verse that we would take for capital punishment. And I really go along with it. I think it would change it, would have changed our whole society. Just got to be sure that those that go up for capital punishment are the ones that are guilty. That's the real problem. Well, these were the words which launched man on the road to self-government under God. And how well did that system work? Not too well. At first, they started out by all staying together after God told them to spread out. God wanted man to go everywhere, and they all stayed together. So they were actually rebelling against the very throne of God. Up to this time, rebellion had been pretty much one-on-one, Cain versus Abel and so on, but now it had become federated. It's a real interesting thing once you get a hold of this, is that this was the first United Nations, was the Tower of Babel. Why did they build it? Well, they wanted to reach the heavens. And the interesting thing in Genesis, God says, God made the stars also. No big deal. But they wanted to study the stars so the stars could direct their paths. Can you imagine us all speaking the same language? I was trying to think about that last night. How much easier it would be to be a missionary if you didn't have to learn the language. And I know May Ko keeps telling me that Chinese is easy, but I seriously doubt it. Anyway, they didn't spread out, so God spread them out. And but this is the same area, this Babylonian peninsula is the same area that the future Babylon is going to come and be built again. Only thing is, you have to have the mark of the beast in order to buy whatever you wanted to buy, whether it was jewelry or food or whatever. And you'll find that the future Babylon, or the future, I like to call it the United Nations, it's found in Revelation 13 and 17 and 18. And, despite the atrocities of governmental powers, and we all are familiar with many of them, human government is still a divine institution. Evil men may be elected to power, or they may seize power. If God allows this to happen, he has a purpose to fulfill. There's a saying which says, people get the kind of government they deserve. I don't like that saying. But it's really true. Governments may be weak or strong, just or oppressive, benevolent or cruel, wise or foolish, democracies or dictatorships, unlike or alike, they're all under his control. Now that just makes me feel so much more secure. I think, oh, praise God, somebody's in charge. And it's God himself. And so it's like he's weaving it all together, the dark things and the light things. And I was thinking about this the other night. He's weaving man. He's making a tapestry of mankind, and it'll say, by God. And won't that be something to look at? And we'll all be woven into that tapestry. Well, one of the great lessons of the book of Daniel is that God keeps a firm hand on history. Daniel 4:26, the whole of the Bible history is intended to reinforce the truth that the power that of rulers and rulers are ordained of God. Disobedience to the government authorities is disobedience to God. I have to remember that the next time I speed. Seems like I'm always in a hurry. Well, the responsibilities of the rulers, though, you have to remember, they are responsible for national safety and protection. They're to resist the criminal elements in the community so that we feel safe living there. And the only people that should be worried about law enforcement is those who break the law. Today, it's kind of slipping and sliding, isn't it? But we're living in a day when God's word has been taken out of our schools, and it's been taken out of government, and it's been taken out of many churches. Isn't that a frightening thing? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy 3. This used to be my verse, and I used to think, oh, this will be so terrible. But now it just sounds kind of like the front page. 2 Timothy 3, it says, one starting verse 1, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Those verses used to bother me. Now they sound, that's about like our society. Sounds very familiar. And I thought I'd test my son, who works for the city of San Francisco. He works for the health department, and he also is a hazmat guy. So if anything goes wrong in San Francisco, he's the first on the situation. He drives a $200,000 truck. It's absolutely amazing. He can test everything. And of course, his mother always tells him, well, if you find something really bad, come home. So Sunday they were all over our house to celebrate my husband's birthday. And he came upstairs to talk to me. He says, well, Mom, I found another body. Oh, boy, this will be interesting. I think I told you about the last body that he found that had been wrapped like a mummy. Well, I'm not going to go into that story again. But this one was a man who lived in a very nice section of town in San Francisco. His home was worth about $1 million, Pat thought. But that isn't very much for San Francisco. So anyway, this man was a hoarder. And they couldn't even get in to get his body. So Pat had to have him take off the back door and go in after him. It doesn't look like it was anything that somebody had done, but that he just died under his pile of stuff. And of course, that bothers me a lot. Do you think we can have a whole television program devoted to people who hoard things? You know, I don't get it. You can't take anything with you when you go to heaven or wherever you're going. You leave it all behind. And so it's really a hard sickness to try to figure out. So I asked my son, I said, do you think drugs in San Francisco has become even worse since you've taken your job? He's been there, I won't tell you how long. And I was expecting him to say, oh, it's gotten better. But no, he said, absolutely. He said, it's prescription drugs is the big thing that's going on, and marijuana. And I said, what's going on with marijuana? He says, well, I think it's going to be made legal in the November election. And I said, well, I'm really sorry to hear that, because that means teens and kids are going to get into it. And they don't need anything more to get into. And of course, since then, we've had sex trade and porno and organized crime. Kids used to steal lipsticks or things, you know, beauty things. And but now it's expensive jeans and jackets. And when they're caught, they said, oh, we just did it for kicks. Well, don't you know that stealing is wrong? Well, no one told us. And I think that's really what's happening, is that there's such a breakdown in the family that no one is telling the young people, you can't do that. And why can't you do it? Because God says so. And that's the one that you bring it back to. I can't imagine not telling your children that it's okay to steal if you can get away with it. Well, Heath believes things are a lot worse in San Francisco. They're just kind of under a different title. Now, if you have relatives that live there, and I know a couple of you do, sorry. But I'm sure they stay out of trouble real easy. Well, love's debt is large. Have you ever thought about that? I thought, how much I owe the Lord for his cleansing blood on Calvary. You know, my whole life, he's cleansed. Not just as a child, but my whole life. And then it says, owe man anything. Don't owe him anything. And I thought, well, of this account. And so it's something to look at, isn't it? And, of course, some of you are probably sitting there saying, well, maybe you owe a lot to the Lord, but we don't. Good. I'm glad. But just the thought of the Lord dying for me on the cross sometimes overwhelms me. And what a huge debt. None of us can ever fill that debt. And one little thing I wanted to point out here is, have you ever made a vow to the Lord and not kept it? That is such a important verse in Scripture, and it's found in Ecclesiastes 5:4-5. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. How important that is. And God holds you to it until you bring it to him. You know, if you've had 15 marriages and vowed every time you stay faithful and you haven't, you need to take that up with the Lord and get that cleaned up. And so love's duty is to work no harm towards your neighbor. Did you see how it was the Ten Commandments kind of all listed over again? But not towards God, it was towards man. And you thought, wow, how come that got in there? And it's just simply is to tell us that those commands are towards your neighbor. You know, If you covet your neighbor's husband and you flirt with him while you're cruising for a bruising, no, you're breaking one of the commands towards God. You're not taking care of your neighbor. And really, most of those are all to take care of your neighbor. And it's a duty. Watch vigilantly. I can't say it. I'll start coughing, I'm sure. And verse 12 says, war valiantly. And verse 13 says to walk virtuously. And then in verse 14, wait victoriously. But you know, you can find these same things over in Ephesians from Paul. And I love it over there because it just spells it out so good. Let me find those. General Electric Power Company, here it is. It talks in Ephesians 4, to walk worthy. We're commanded to walk worthy. You have the Lord Jesus Christ's name on you. And when you tell anybody that you're a Christian, it's like the day that I had a bumper sticker way back when I was a new Christian, and I had a bumper sticker on my car that said, Jesus loves you. And then I beat out this lady to this parking place. And I just, from there on, decided I'm not going to put even a little tiny fish on my car. Because I don't always walk worthy. You know, we think, oh, well, that's so easy. No, it's not easy. Walk worthy of the calling. Don't want to hurt our neighbors. And then it just goes right on into 5:1, walk in love. That's really what this chapter is all about, isn't it? Walking in love. If you put on the robes of Christ in the morning to get going, you're really walking in love. Well, what's the difference between that and the armor of God? Well, if you're going to battle today, you want to put on the armor of God. But most of the time, God is just calling us to walk in love. And that can't be done without the Lord. We're just not naturally that way. At least I'm not. I need the Lord's help. Yeah, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. And then it goes on to say, walk as children of light. You know, that means keep an eye out where you're going and what you're seeing, what you're doing. And the next one is the last one, which I like so much. It says, see that you walk circumspectly. I love that word, circumspectly, because to me it'd be like walking in circles. But the idea here is you're checking where you're going. You're not just availing yourself. Oh, well, I just went to the bar because my neighbor wanted to go, and we did a little dancing and stuff. No, you want to walk circumspectly. You bear about in you the Lord Jesus Christ, his name, it's above every name. One day every knee will bow over it. So 13 is kind of an interesting chapter, isn't it? Submitting to government. But the thing that I wanted to bring about to you is a couple of ideas here, is accept your government as a gift of God. Because that's who it's coming from. And has it been a while since you thanked him? It's an interesting thing, isn't it? When Caesar put his image on coins, they belong to Caesar. But God has put his image on man, and they belong to him. So man can give certain things to Caesar, but the man himself belongs to God, never to Caesar. How big a deal was it for Paul to say to submit to Rome, to submit to Nero? Well, we did a little figuring here. Nero was in power towards the end of Paul's life. He killed his mother, that's the first thing. Then he got married and killed her. Then he got remarried and killed her. And apparently when he was going to be taking the throne, somebody killed his brother. When the Circus Maximus got under fire, we don't know who did it, but Nero blamed the Christians because he wanted to build a palace there so that all this stuff was just cleared out and he could build a palace. When he was 31 years old, he committed suicide. Don't forget, he used to light his garden parties with Christians dipped in oil, alive, for his garden parties. I thought that was probably a pretty cruel guy. And what is Paul telling us? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Sobering, isn't it? We just forget so easily. Because I think we've been Americans so long. And we've had so much freedom for so long. I'm going to finish with this little bit here. From Ray Stedman's book. I read this to my leaders and I thought it was very timely. Here he says, God is neither a Republican nor a Democrat. Okay. He is not a socialist or a Marxist or even an American. Oh, I was disappointed to hear that. But the biblical picture is that God not only sends us good men sometimes by his grace to lead us and heal us, but he also sends us bad men at times to punish us. And we deserve them. I don't like that. Therefore, when Hitler's or Stalin's and other ruthless individuals come to throne of power, God has put them there because they are what the people needed at that particular time in history. The Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives to them who he will. So the first thing we need to recognize is that regardless of the form of government we may be up against, the hand of God is in it. And not only this is true of the form of government, but also the very ones who occupy the positions of power. God has put them there. Sobering, very, very sobering. So when you start battling Washington, D.C., although I will tell you, when he talked about taxes, he talked about the eternal revenue. Eternal revenue. And then other times he talked about it as being the, what was the other word? Infernal. The infernal. So he had his problems with the government too. That was under Jimmy Carter. Anyway, very sobering thoughts, and at a time when we need to be demonstrating the Lord, we need to really think about just how are we demonstrating him. Lord, it's been a sobering lesson. It's certainly a sobering lesson for myself. And I am so grateful that you're in control, that the future is in your hands, that you know each of our lives, and each of us, Lord, that belong to you, long to be with you, probably sooner than later. But it's so exciting to see that the plain of Babylon is going to be a future plain of the Antichrist. It all weaves together, and you haven't left anything out. Help us to be on top of that, Lord, to be your witnesses, to walk worthy of the calling, that we might put away that which is not pleasing to you, that we might begin to encourage people around us. They so need it, Lord. And we'll simply give you all the praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.